Today, I am speaking with Mr. Knox Masebenzi, who is the Managing Director of the Nuclear Industry Association of South Africa, and Ms. Seponono Kekana, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the civil engineering firm Sites AFLA in Johannesburg, and a board member at African Women in Electricity and Power and the Nuclear Industry Association of South Africa. Thank you for joining me today.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
I'd like to start out with a question about how your work impacts the nuclear energy industry in South Africa. So an important aspect of African Women in Energy and Electricity and the Nuclear Industry Association of South Africa is preparing women and youth for careers in entrepreneurship in the energy sector. Could you briefly discuss the activities of these organizations, your successes, and your hopes for the future with these organizations?
Okay, I think the question is such a critical question at this point. So your question speaks to women, it speaks to the youth in relation to entrepreneurship in the energy sector. So with regards to AWEP, it's an accelerator for women entrepreneurs. So they're trying to get as many women to be involved in the supply chain, not only in the nuclear industry, but the whole energy chain. And the good thing about it is that it's continental, you know, so it doesn't only focus on South Africa, it focuses on the whole continent. So getting women in all the different, parts of Africa, you know, working together and having some sort of integration and promoting entrepreneurship of women in the energy sector. So it's still quite, you know, new, but there's a, you know, there's groundbreaking work that's been done, and there's a lot of ambition for what the organization needs to achieve. I think they talk about 500, you know, women entrepreneurs within a very short, you know, span of time. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of work that's been done, you know, getting these entrepreneurs through. I'm one of the people, one of the entrepreneurs in the space. I'm very excited about it. Bertha is doing, groundbreaking work. So that's basically in AWEP. AWEP is focusing on women. It's not only women, it's actually men and women, but basically supporting women, to be successful entrepreneurs in the sector by giving them the information they need, the training they need, the support they need, and maybe also opening up markets and reducing barriers of entry to these different markets within the industry. And in regards to what NIASA is doing, so NIASA is an industry body, but it actually it has affiliates or people or organization that affiliates to it. So there's a youth organization called SANAPS that is a youth organization in the nuclear sector in particular that affiliates to NIASA. And we also have another one for women. So WINSA, I don't know if you know about WINSA. I'm sure it's women in nuclear, but it's actually a global movement. So both these organizations are affiliated to NIASA. And within NIASA, there are two very important subcommittees that are doing some work in terms of encouraging entrepreneurship. There is a subcommittee called supply chain development. So this basically what it does, it actually looks at the whole supply chain in the nuclear industry, from mining of uranium to basically, you know, when you get power going to the grid. So it looks at the whole supply chain. Because what we recognize is the fact that even though there are very few players in the nuclear industry worldwide, there's a lot of small sort of SMMEs that are playing in the field. There's a lot of SMMEs that are involved in the nuclear industry. And what we try to do, we try to take this big, you know, chunk, we divide it up into different pieces, and we look at the industry and our members to see where they can participate. And also focusing on like barriers to entry. Nuclear is a very it's a very specialized field. So there's certain certifications that you would require to work. You wouldn't just ordinarily take any supplier just because they are competent in a certain area. You would typically have to to fulfill different set of certifications for you to operate in that space. So that's another thing that we try to do, to look at, ways that we can, help, entrepreneurs to basically reduce those barriers of entry. Different people, who are interested in the nuclear industry, they could join and they could be, participate. And also within NIASA, there's also like another development, another committee, and this one is for skills, you know. So in South Africa, nuclear, you know, you can't take it on a, on an undergrad level. So undergraduate studies, we don't have a nuclear sort of course on undergraduate levels. So you get it on the postgraduate sort of level. So ordinarily, a lot of people that are in the market and that, that can work, you know, would not have like the nuclear, maybe, you know, exposure, even training or experience. So, you know, universities now, they're looking at sort of nuclearizing the non-nuclear, you know, sort of people. So this subcommittee that's focusing on skills is basically looking and working with different players in the skills development, you know, sort of sector, including higher learning institutions and, you know, other players to look at how people can be nuclearized, or the skills, you know, of people who are not traditionally in the nuclear industry can be. So there's a lot of work being done, but, you know, between the two organizations, with our web focusing on women in particular, and NIASA focusing broadly on anyone that is in that space.
You mentioned SMEs, small and medium-sized enterprises, right?
Yeah.
I'm curious, are there a lot of small companies in South Africa focused on nuclear energy, or is your organization focused on creating more of those?
It's the latter. So if you know, the nuclear industry in South Africa is there, but it's not very big. So we've got a Kuberg Power Station in Cape Town, and then we have Nexa, you know, up in Pretoria and Pelindaba. But in terms of, you know, comparing it with other, you know, industries like the mining industry or any other industry in South Africa, it's very small. So the players are there and they've been playing for a long time, but it's very small, you know, players. So there is a need to bring, you know, a lot of other, you know, SMEs into the market, you know, so that we can have a broader participation of people in this, you know. So NIAS is also, you know, and our web looking at making a lot more, you know, small SMEs involved in the nuclear field.
Great. So since you mentioned some of the educational aspects of nuclear energy, I sort of want to ask a couple questions about, you know, the educational institutions, fellowships, and scholarships under the STEM umbrella. So it sounds like you can only pursue nuclear energy at the postgraduate level, which is news to me. So I'm curious if South Africa has some of the problems that maybe other countries have in gearing people towards the nuclear industry. Do you see any disparity between the number of students interested in careers in nuclear energy and the actual jobs available? And there was a recent announcement by the South African government that they'd like to add 2,500 megawatts of new nuclear energy over the course of the next 5 years. So do you think that this announcement will contribute to growth in the industry at all and interest in pursuing education in that field?
If I can jump in there, I think the issue about the postgraduate work is, I think we should put it in context. There is physics in the sciences. So people do nuclear science and in physics. But to actually do nuclear engineering, what we should be saying is there is no course in nuclear engineering at undergraduate level. I remember discussing this in Turkey as well. They have got the same challenge. But what happens is the normal undergraduate people, like engineers, like mechanical, electrical, get to be nuclearized. They've got a BSc in the normal stream of engineering, but they get to be trained to become nuclear, they become nuclearized. Just like there are no people that go to school to learn about how to make bread, but they then join a company that makes bread and then they learn how to make bread. That's basically what we're saying. The announcement of the 2,500 megawatts gives us an opportunity to have a project to bite onto. There is nothing like a project that gives you opportunities for developing skills. If we don't have a project, yes, we've been producing graduates and scientists who were getting frustrated because the program for nuclear was not growing. As a result, if you went to a country like United Arab Emirates, you find that it's a lot of South Africans who are over there, all over the world, basically. America, there are quite a number of graduates that have come out of our institutions that are working in the nuclear industry in the United States. So what we are saying is by this opportunity will actually help in retaining these skills within the country and also provide the energy that we're looking for.
Got it. So I'd like to focus a bit more on that announcement that was made on May 7th by the Ministry of Energy. So even though the announcement was made, there weren't a lot of details that were released about this nuclear new build program. Could you discuss the factors that went into the South African government's decision to pursue new nuclear capacity and what steps it's likely going to take to follow through on the announcement?
We must actually point out that the South African government has got a nuclear energy policy. It has always advocated for the development of nuclear technology. It has never abandoned this. What has happened is the integrated resource plan, in other words, the plan for the future generation capacity that was promulgated in 2018, did not have nuclear up to 2030. So a lot of people interpreted that to mean that there is no nuclear. It was a matter of timing. But even then, the announcement that was made by the minister on the 7th of May, the likelihood of having nuclear capacity, that new nuclear capacity before 2030 is very, very slim, depending on what technology and what is available on the market. So what the minister is talking about is a roadmap. This is what we're going to do. We have got a destination that we are aiming to get to. We want to become continue to become a player in the nuclear field. And this is these are the steps that we're going to take. The date of the 2024 is the agreement or the fixation of the procurement process. But the construction will then take its own time, depending on what technology and et cetera, where it is in the licensing process, and then it will then be implemented.
Okay, I see. So the hope is that you at least begin construction by 2024.
That's great.
Yes.
And as you mentioned, this is part of a continuing policy in South Africa, because actually the first nuclear power plant ever built on African soil was the Coburg Nuclear Power Station in South Africa, and that was commissioned in 1984. And is currently the only operating nuclear power station on the African continent. So I'd like to discuss a bit about the history of nuclear power in South Africa and how South Africa's decision to pursue nuclear energy incorporated efforts to mitigate risks and ensure the highest nuclear safety standards going forward.
South Africa is a founding member of the International Atomic Energy Agency. South Africa collaborated very closely with first world countries in the development of nuclear technology, including nuclear arms. You will know that South Africa is the only country that voluntarily gave up its nuclear program at the International Atomic Energy Agency. So we have got a history of nuclear. So the decision, if you like, to include nuclear as part of our generation mix, because we've got lots of coal in the country, upward of 80% is of our nuclear of our generation is from coal. Part of that reason was to mitigate the coal fields are in the northeastern part of the country. We have got cities like Cape Town, which is almost 2,000 kilometers away from the coal fields, which are the coal plants in the northeast of the country. So the idea was to stabilize the grid and supply electricity to Western Cape Town, basically. And the only fuel that was viable would have been nuclear. And that was also to take advantage of the technology that they were already pursuing with the arms program, but to obviously, with the formation of the IAEA, to the whole concept of atoms of peace. So that is really the reason why South Africa went into that. So as far as establishing the regime for controlling and running nuclear technology, we are up to speed. We are active members of the IAEA. We often have missions coming from the IAEA to come and inspect our operations. So we are fine in that regard.
Great. And then, so anyone who is an advocate of nuclear energy anywhere, I think, likes to tout the benefits of climate change mitigation. You know, there's no emissions that come from nuclear power plants. And I think this is something that the South African government has realized and prioritized in its national development plan. So over the next few years, South Africa is really prioritizing investment in energy infrastructure, decommissioning 35 gigawatts of coal-fired power capacity, which is something you touched on earlier, and meeting much of the expected growth in energy demand with renewables and natural gas. So could either of you expand a bit more on the role your respective organizations play in helping South Africa meet these goals and how you think nuclear fits in alongside renewables and natural gas to reduce emissions?
Okay, I'll take that one. But before I do, I just wanted to go back on the issue of skills, because there's something important that I think you should know. That in terms of the nuclear new builds in South Africa, we've been preparing it for the longest time. So you'd understand that around 2010, there was an inquiry issued for a new nuclear. So we actually have been preparing for a new nuclear program for the last 10 years or even more in South Africa. And during that time, there's a lot of initiatives that the South African government did to actually ensure that South Africa would be ready for the nuclear program in terms of skills, in terms of business and all of that. And one of the things in terms of training, my colleague Knox was talking about, you know, the fact that you've got engineers, with BSc degrees coming out of universities. So what they've done is that they've taken, you know, those kind of people to different countries to be trained. So they were students, you know, taken from South Africa to go train in South Korea, in Russia, in Paris. So in different parts, of the countries, in places where they've got nuclear skills to be trained, and those people are in the country ready to work. The other thing is that Eskom, our electricity state-owned enterprise, has a big group of people that have been working in the nuclear industry and also preparing for the program for a long. So in terms of skills, there are many. We don't have problems in terms of skills, in terms of rolling out the program, because there's work that's been done over a long period of time to prepare for a new build. Getting to the question about the policy and about government commitment to carbon reduction, is that our government has a policy, on energy, and our policy on energy is basically underpinned by very fundamental, things. So what is, one of the things is energy diversification. So we want diverse mix of energies. One of the ones is the climate, goals. It's no secret that South Africa is a signatory to the Paris, Accord. So we've got commitments to carbon, reduction. So we are committed to that. But we're also committed to our diversification, because we have to look at the energy security in the country. And energy security in the country needs energy that's dispatchable. We often talk about baseload energy. So my colleague has basically mentioned the fact that coal at the moment is still, the dominant, technology in terms of our energy mix, and some of the coal plants are going to be decommissioned because they've reached end of life. But also South Africa is also looking at investing in clean coal technologies. As you would know, we have, we're recently building new power stations, Medupi and Kusile, which are still under construction. They are based on, HALE technology, which is a clean coal technology. So the commitment to reduce carbon reduction is not only just based on renewables. It's based on looking at the coal that we have and making sure that we focus on clean coal technologies. we cannot begin to talk about any carbon reduction and exclude nuclear. So nuclear is such an important technology for us to basically reduce our carbon footprint. And obviously renewables, and there's an issue of gas, though, gas at the moment in South Africa is something that's still under discussion, because it's not something that's, it's not a market that's developed. As you know, we don't have gas in South Africa, and we haven't used it at a large scale in terms of, electricity sort of generation. So that's, so there's still debate sort of, going on in South Africa about gas and where we're going to get the gas from, and all of that. But in terms of development, we're very developed to nuclear and coal. But because of our commitment to clean coal technologies, we're starting to look at, HELE coal, clean coal technologies. So South Africa is committed to a mix. So that mix will have nuclear, that mix will have coal, clean coal technologies that we're looking at, that mix will have renewables, that mix will have gas, even though there's still discussions about, where the gas will come from and the logistics around that. So, but from a principle or framework perspective, South Africa is committed to a diverse, mix of, energy technologies.
There's also, let me just add, there's also a general misconception. When people talk about energy transition, there is nowhere where it says it's transitioning from coal to renewables. Mm-hmm. Transition means basically coming from high carbon to low carbon, high emissions to low emissions. So transition does not mean renewables only. It means renewables will play a part. Coal in its clean form will play a part. Nuclear will play a significant part. As we're saying, 35 gigawatts are due to be decommissioned. Our position is that the best way to maintain a stable grid is to have a fairly large, very large portion of that being baseload power generation. Because if we only rely on renewables with their intermittency, we have got problems. We are not like a country like Germany, which is surrounded by Poland in the east with coal plants, Scandinavian countries in the north with hydro plants, France in the south with nuclear. We don't have that luxury. So we need to have a robust energy system. Therefore, we need to have baseload to be self-sufficient energy security in South Africa.
So when you talk about the energy transition in South Africa specifically, are there certain types or sources of energy that you think are truly the transition sources? Like, would that be, a lot of people consider natural gas to be a bridge from more like fossil fuel intensive sources of energy to something like renewables, but pretty far down the road. Are there specific sources of energy in South Africa that you think play the biggest role in the energy transition?
The policy is not to abandon coal. The policy is to go to cleaner coal. So the transition is transitioning from dirty coal to clean coal. But in the process, we add on the new technologies like renewables. We already have a nuclear program in South Africa. We add on to that. So we will look at our system and say, how best do we run a system that can run an industrialized economy, that can power the mines, the smelters, the manufacturing, the automotive manufacturing, aerospace manufacturing, factories throughout the country that have reliable energy source. So we will have an energy mix that is stable, that is reliable, and that is cost effective.
Got it. And obviously coal and clean coal and nuclear energy play a big role in that.
Absolutely.
Just to add on that, we are very much alive to the fact that each and every technology has advantages and disadvantages. And what we're looking at is having a system that basically gives us the best, for South Africa, looking at South Africa. Just like a transport system, within a transport system, you've got different modes of transport, and each transport mode gives you some advantages and disadvantages. What makes it more robust as a as a system is the fact that you've got different things that gives you different. So in South Africa, it's the same. So that's why we've gone for, you know, for a mix. It is, you know, our mix is, you know, now is accommodating other energy sources that we didn't have before. So in our electricity mix, we didn't have, you know, gas before, but maybe it's a possibility now. We have to look at it. But looking at it, we have to look at it in context with everything else and the objectives that we want to achieve. Renewables, we didn't have renewables before. We're starting to add it to the grid, you know, but the fundamental, you know, still stays because we want energy security and we want a very robust system. That coal and nuclear will continue to play a very important role in the South African energy sector.
Got it. So we're getting towards the end of our chat, but before we do, I want to ask a question about the impact of COVID-19 on energy markets in South Africa, and especially the nuclear energy sector. So in light of this pandemic, we've seen the IAEA working with a number of countries to pursue applications of nuclear technology in the healthcare sector, particularly as they relate to nuclear-derived methods for detecting viruses or the continued production of radioisotopes for the management of certain cancers or chronic diseases. In South Africa, I saw that the government had recently announced a national lockdown on March 27th, so not so recent anymore. But they've continued operations of the Safari 1 research reactor and NTP radioisotopes, which is a subsidiary of the Nuclear Energy Corporation. Could you speak a bit about how COVID-19 has affected the country's nuclear operations, both in terms of general operations at facilities and also electricity generation and healthcare applications?
Okay, so the South African lockdown, framework, you know, it's lockdown with different levels. Okay, so the lockdown in South Africa has 5 different levels. So you've got, you know, a level 1 up to 5, with level 5 being the most strict, you know. So level 5, only certain, you know, essential services actually operate in the country. So level 2, they add others, level 3 as you go along up until level 1. So, you know, power generation and like, you know, Nexa, for example, falls under level number 5. That means it's an essential services. So it has not, the operation did not stop even under lockdown. So the people that work under Safari Reactor, they still continue to go to work. The people that need to, they continue to work. And the only thing that might be a little bit different is basically with the delivery, because South Africa, we deliver medical isotopes all over the world. I think we've got 25% of the market. We've got 25% of the market. So commercial flights are not, flying as usual. So, Nexa and NTP, who produces these isotopes, had to get into some kind of agreements with South African Airways to make sure that those critical, medical isotopes reaches the countries that they need to reach. So in terms of lockdown, the impact has not been great. The impact would be on a logistic level, because it's more difficult to actually get things around the world with the lockdown. But the reactor continues to operate the way that it used to operate before. The people continue to go to work the way that they used to go to work. So this is essentially an essential services throughout all the lockdown levels, from level 5 until level 1. I don't know if Knox, you want to add something on that?
For example, was not even touched by the lockdown. It continued to generate electricity as normal. So yeah, the impact of the this lockdown has been somewhat minimal, because contingency plans were put in place for the radioisotopes to be carried throughout the world using cargo planes, etc., etc.
So it's deemed, so nuclear is deemed an essential service in South Africa.
Yeah.
All right, great. Thank you so much for such an insightful interview. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.